This episode is brought to you by North Texas Honda Dealers. North Texas Honda Dealers, they're here to help.
He has time, launches it to the end zone. Touchdown, Terrence Williams!
The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught. He's the worst ever!
Bloody at the 10. What's he up the right sideline?
Yeah, he's got to go. He's tackled. Sam Houston wins it. The Bearcats capture their first FCS champion.
Hello and welcome to the Republic of Football. I'm your host, Ishmael Johnson, here recovering at coaching school, THSCA in San Antonio, with Mike Craven. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing a lot better than everybody else I'm seeing in this convention hall. It's like walking through a Las Vegas airport this morning. Everybody, you can tell. It's like, oh, you were out last night. You were out last night. And I'm just like, I just got a coffee and, you know. An Egg McMuffin, and I'm doing fine.
Right. I did go out last night, and somebody else who went out last night is our producer, Mallory Hartley. Mallory, what's up?
Hey. Got some coffee, too. So we're doing good. We're up and running today, so
yep.
We're doing well.
Yep, day three, the last day. It's kind of a half day at THSCA.
Yeah.
Everybody's in their kind of regional meetings. They're about to have their Grand Assembly. I think they might have already had it. I can't remember the schedule. Regardless, everything's winding down. We're starting to break down our booth. Exhausting in many ways, socially mostly.
Yes.
A lot of handshakes, a lot of just running around to different rooms, press conferences, talks, whatever.
So it's different from 7-on-7 because 7-on-7, you're like physically exhausted
because you're
sweating and stuff like that. But this is a completely different kind of exhausted. This is the exhausted that like you're mentally exhausted.
Right.
Completely different. Exactly. You're still tired, but it's like a mentally exhausted. I don't want to talk to anybody for like a week.
You know, they say the difference between being an introvert and an extrovert is like extroverts get their battery power charged up around people.
Right.
Sure,
and introverts lose power around people. I have been running on E since Saturday at about 10 o'clock. We went on a team dinner Saturday. The thing hadn't even started yet, and I was like, I'm good. So, yeah, I don't – every time I come here, it, like, amazes me how good Matt Stepp is at his job. It is incredible.
Yeah,
it's watching him – I was talking last night, I need to pitch something to Texas Monthly to just, like, follow him around during this thing, because he's like the king of the ball. It's an amazing thing, because I can't do it.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So, listeners, for those of you that don't know, THSCA, Texas High School Coaches Convention, Association, they put on their annual coaching school convention. And for Mike's purposes, every FBS head coach and FCS, some FCS coaches are here because every high school coach is here. And so it's about networking. It's about basically introducing yourselves. So all the FBS coaches have press conferences. They do a 12-person panel. And so, like, that's kind of what Mike's been up to this whole week. Mostly just, like, going to a bunch of press conferences, shaking a bunch of hands, all that stuff. And it's the most informal setting I think you'll get these guys in.
Yeah.
Right.
It's because they're just walking around.
Yeah, it's not as much for stories.
Right.
You know, like you don't get a ton of content. I mean, you could.
Yeah, you could if you wanted, yeah.
But it's mostly just a way to kind of get with these guys before the season starts, ask a few off-the-record questions, have some, you know, just human-to-human interaction. Because so often, you know, it's your job, right? So they're up behind a podium. You're back here asking questions. There's not a whole lot of human interactions. It's like, how's your quarterbacks? How's your linebackers?
Sure.
Here you can kind of get to know each other a little bit, and that makes the job easier.
Yes.
You know, for them and for us, you know, to kind of like know each other as humans, kind of know their personalities. So it's a fun way. There's not a lot of pressure right now.
Exactly.
There's not winning and losing going on right now, so you can get a guy kind of a little bit more comfortable and have some conversations with them. So it's fun to kind of get that time with those guys.
Yeah.
On Sunday, Craven and I, we went to the D1 coaches panel. Mm-hmm. So you literally had all 12 FBS Texas coaches on the stage at once. And that was really cool. I'll throw up a picture and everything so you guys can see it. But it was really cool to see them all sitting there together, knowing that, like, they're going to put, like, Sark and Jimbo Fisher. They're eyeing each other the whole time, but it was pretty cool.
Actually, Mallory, you're going to put this in post. Because, by the way, this isn't live. We're recording this because we have to – again, we're not talking to anybody for the next week. So we're getting this – while we're running on fumes, we're pumping this content out.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Tuesday. You'll see this Wednesday. Mallory, edit this in post as well. There's a photo of Jimbo Fisher and Steve Sarkisian, which I think was tweeted out by Ari Wasserman. But the best part of that photo is a certain Mike Craven behind them.
I can't wait to add this in here. I can't wait to add this.
The shoulder of Sark, like, hey, what y'all talking about?
What y'all talking? Y'all talking football?
Well, I like walked out of that press conference room, and there's been nobody in there but like me and like five other people the whole time. It's like Chris Hummer, Sam Kahn, me, the whole time. And I walk out, I'm like, why are all these cameras here, And it was just like, oh, it's Sark and Jimbo.
And you are in the photo right there.
Yeah. Of course.
It is excellent. It's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a little weird for us because, or not weird, but we just saw a lot of these guys last week.
Right.
We were at Big 12 Media
Day.
Oh,
yes.
And so we saw Joey McGuire, we saw Dave Aranda, all the Big 12 guys. And it was a little, not awkward, but like, I'm curious how it was for you going to a press conference where you just talked to them. They just had a press conference last week.
And then when you add in Joey McGuire's cover story,
right?
Exactly. Like, I joked with Joey. I was like, I don't have any questions left for you.
right.
Like, I have nothing left to ask you.
It's like, he's so great with us that it's like, oh, I'm sick of Joey McGuire.
Right.
love you, Joey.
Love you to death. I got nothing left to ask. I know everything about you right now. He's like, you remember that time? I'm like, you told me about that time. I think the thing that kind of – over these last couple of days that interested me is everything's just been about transfer portal NIL.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get them talking about that kind of stuff in a way that you can't at a team event, because the beat writers need to know about the wide receiver position and who's going to play defensive line and, how are you going to prepare for so-and-so team or whatever. But here you can really get their real thoughts in a little bit more relaxed setting about what they think about, name and image and likeness, what they think about the transfer portal, what they think about the college football playoff. And it, even if you agree or don't agree, it lets you kind of know, not every coach has the same opinion, but 9 to 10 of the 12 do, right? Mm-hmm. And like, if there's that much, consensus, it's like, oh, that's where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Right. And exactly. So like, I've always kind of been like, I wonder if the college football playoff's going to grow. I no longer worry. Like, it is.
Right.
It is, and stuff like that. And so that part was pretty interesting. You get them talking about stuff that maybe in front of a room of 30 people with cameras going, they're not as likely to get as open about.
Sure.
I thought it was super interesting. When we went to the D1 coaches panel, they were asking – Craig Way was emceeing the event, and he was asking questions to Sark and Jimbo about the playoff expansion, expanding the playoffs and stuff. Obviously, Blumgren and Seth Luttrell, they can't answer those questions like
really,
that. So we kind of had to switch gears from the playoff expansion topic to bowl topics. Like, hey, do y'all still find value in playing in a bowl game? And they asked Traylor that too. And it was just interesting to see them all up there. And
Traylor
kind of
had a great response to that too.
Switch gears. He had you want to tell it?
Yeah.
He had a phenomenal
response. Traylor goes, I bet you anything, if you give the winner $2,000 and the loser $1,000, my guys are going to show up, The question was like, if that playoff expands, the bowl games are already kind of losing their luster and we're already getting opt-outs.
Right,
and it's already,
right.
Like the world's smaller now. You going to, Mobile, Alabama is not really that sexy I don't know how much it really ever was, but it's definitely not that sexy now, right? And so, the question was, how do you keep bowl games mattering at all if the playoff is at 16? And Traylor's response was incentives. We all respond to incentives, right? Like, I'm not here if I'm not getting a paycheck from somebody, And so I think that's kind of the way it's going. And a lot of people don't like to hear that, but Sonny Dykes also, I thought this was great. He's talking about, he's like, man, I've gotten 4 or 5 questions today, about money and how much that matters in recruiting and how much that matters in team building. When I interviewed for TCU, I asked about the money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wasn't the only reason I went to TCU, but it's a reason.
Sure.
Like, why would I begrudge anybody else for doing that? And so, I do think these college coaches are starting to kind of get hip to, like, you might as well change with it, because you're not going to fight against it.
Exactly.
It's not going back to where it was before. Yeah, we need some regulations and we need some uniformity and all that kind of stuff. It's not a perfect system.
Yeah.
But it's not going back to what it was.
Right.
Right. So you either get on it. I think Holgerson said You adapt or die, right? And that's true in everything in life, and it's especially true for college coaches right now. And I think what we see over the next 5 years is we're going to see who can adapt and who doesn't.
Sure.
know, like the good coaches are going to be the ones that can figure this out and adapt, and the ones that kind of go into other stuff are going to be the ones who, you know, just cling on to this old school mentality of I'm going down with the ship. And it's like, well, then, you know, adios.
Right. I was about to, well, as we're recording, Nick Saban, is it SEC Media Day?
Yes.
So Nick Saban was speaking at SEC Media Day, and everybody's tweeting out that he's very, speaking of somebody who's willing to adapt, he's openly saying, like, oh, yeah, my guy's made about $3 million. Yep. Like, he might be the first coach to put, like, an actual figure to his team's NIL deals. And he said openly, like, I don't mind. Like, you know, like, I'm for name, image, and likeness. Like, I'll throw – he was very open, transparent about that. And he said his only issue was the overall transparency of, like, things like that. But he said he did not have an issue with it. So, to your credit, like, again, somebody who's adapting very well, obviously, the best coach in the history of the game. But, I agree.
They just don't want it to be enticement.
Exactly.
Right. If other people are using it as enticement, so are these coaches, right? Yep. But, like I think they want it to actually be name, image, and likeness. Right. You know, like Sark pointed to Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. It's like Bijan Robinson has a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
But Bijan Robinson's a 3.5 GPA guy. He's an all-conference player. He's put up thousands of yards for us. He's played in games.
Right.
There's nobody in our locker room that's like, oh, man, Bijan's got a Lambo and I don't, you know, or whatever, because they all look at Bijan and go, like, Bijan deserves a Lambo.
Exactly.
You know, like Sark sits in a coaching office.
Yeah.
And, like, he's talking to the special teams coach, and the special teams coach is like, ah, man, Sark makes more money than I do. It's like, well, Sark's the head coach. Of course
exactly.
he makes more. So, like, I think if you are, I think from what I've listened to, I think everybody knows that if it's deserved money, a guy goes out and he balls.
Yeah.
And, like, the local car dealership is like, hey, I'm going to put you on a commercial. I don't think anybody's going to begrudge a kid for that.
Mm-mm.
The worry becomes you walk into a locker room making $50,000 and the starting left tackle isn't.
Right.
Now, where does that go? I think that's the worry for coaches.
Sure.
So, a little off topic, but is SEC Media Day, do they split it up into 2 days?
Like
the Big 12? Okay, because Kirby Smart, I think, is talking right now. So I was
honestly,
is that going to work?
They may split it up into three.
Maybe.
I can't remember exactly, but yeah, it definitely is two because Jimbo is tomorrow.
Gotcha. Okay,
or
that
today.
Makes sense. If you're
watching the
– Oh, Jimbo's here too. Yeah. I didn't think about that too.
That's a good point.
Yeah, interesting.
So going back to Big 12 Media Day, what was kind of your – was there an overall takeaway that you had from listening to all these guys talk? Obviously, Sonny Dykes, Joey McGuire's first one as new head coaches in the Big 12. Was there any takeaway for you about – I know a lot of them obviously asked about expansion and things like that. Was there any overall takeaway for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it was the Yormark presentation and the new Big 12 commissioner and how open he was with just, like, the Big 12 is open for business.
Mm.
You know, like, most commissioners kind of, like, you know, give you this, like, roundabout talk and we're exploring all opportunities and we'll think about what's going on and we're going to do what's best for us. But,
sure.
you know, he's coming from outside the commissioner world.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the private sector and he knows how much marketing and money matters, right? And he was very clear of everything we do from now until our rights deal is up, which I think is in 2024, maybe in 2025. Everything we do from here on out in terms of conference expansion and conference marketing is to set us up to do well in that renegotiation.
Yep.
And that was refreshing to hear because we talked last week on the podcast and I was like, well, I assume he's going to get up there and kind of fire extinguisher, that kind of stuff, and just, like, you know, give himself some time to, like, really figure this out. And he's like, no. This is what it is. We gotta be aggressive or we're going to get left behind. And to me, that means that the Big 12 is being proactive and ready to kind of go poach those remaining Pac-12 schools that they want. And it gives me even more confidence that the Big 12 can emerge from this as the third or fourth, depending on what happens with the ACC, you know, best conference after the SEC and the Big 10. And that's good news for us, you know, because that's going to be TCU, Houston, Baylor, Tech. And if those four schools can be anchored to a conference that still matters, quote unquote, nationally, you know, that's good for football in the state of Texas. And maybe it's a way that we can get fewer and fewer of the top recruits to leave the state.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. One of my favorite things from Big 12 Media Day was kind of everybody, because he's obviously, this is his third, Dave Aranda's third Media Day. But still, I think everybody's kind of hip to his style and his personality now. He kind of said a little bit more of it during his press conference here at THSEA. And I loved that the first question he got was about what he's reading. And you could tell he genuinely enjoyed that question because he dropped, like, it was some book about social change and how it happens. And then he, like, dropped a Brené Brown reference. And he was just like, of course, like, Dave Aranda's the guy to drop a Brené Brown reference at Big 12 Media Day. But, yeah, Sonny Dykes is another one that was just, like, it felt fresh, right, obviously.
Him talking about his dad.
Yes,
and
yes.
How his dad would be proud of him for coaching in the Big 12, I thought was a cool thing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We had a lot of great moments from Big 12 Media Day. I think one of my favorite moments, and I'm still debating on if we should run this interview or not, but it was when the two Texas Tech players interviewed each other.
Miles Price and Caleb Rogers?
Yes.
And Ish had the great idea to ask at the very end of the video, at the end of the interview, asked them both, has Joey Maguire's head gotten a little bit bigger since being on the cover? And they both just went off.
Yeah, you know what?
They
put that in now.
I was gonna say, like, yeah, splice that in right now, and
we're gonna put that little clip in right now.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Got on the cover. Oh,
his head always been big. Like, that's always been a thing. But now, like, it's always been visibly big. But now inside the head, it's a lot more big. So it just caused it to grow a little bit more.
I can't believe y'all let him scam y'all into putting him on the cover with Jeff Traylor. Y'all let him get on a press conference and be like, I challenge them not to do it. Like, come on. He really just, him and his best friend wanted to be on the cover together. He was like, hey, during the press conference, I'm gonna make a joke about it. They're gonna have to do it.
They got to.
So I can't believe y'all let that happen. But yeah, man, his head's big, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. When you're Joey Maguire, who cares?
Everybody knows it.
Right. So Excellent. Both those guys.
Listen, if Texas Tech doesn't, like, figure out a way
something
to
that.
Get them, like, some kind of internet show going on, like, they need to be riding around in their car. Yeah. You
they
know,
need
like,
to be the face of Texas Tech.
Going to different really restaurants. Like, football. They really do. Like, they need to figure out a way to do some of
like
that
we
stuff.
Like, Jesus Amaro type.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We were like, we need to put them both in a car and put them on camera.
Yes.
So, you know how, I don't remember, was it Jake Paul who did the interview with the – he had 21 Savage in the car with him, and they play music. They need to do that.
They just need to film it.
They just need to drive around Texas Tech and pick people. That would be so
you know what you know what it reminded me of? Kevin Hart and The Rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like the way those two kind of always go back and forth and all that kind of stuff? Because Miles Price.
Oh, he's going to be hosting something.
Yeah.
He's a character.
Yeah. Right.
He's
you know,
great.
And like, you know, Caleb's so big compared to Miles. And so it had that kind of feel because like every interview those guys do together, they're always just roasting each other and playing off back and forth.
Yep.
And Miles and Caleb, you know, reminded me of that. And those guys, you know, they need to be actors or
exactly.
something. You know,
they do.
Like, they have like careers in entertainment in front of them if they'd like.
I think they asked if they could be interviewed together or they could interview each other. And I think we accidentally stumbled on something because they were together.
Right.
After everybody kind of saw, because they're, you know, they're kind of loud, they're laughing, all this stuff. Right. So everybody kind of started looking.
Well, a crowd built around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Like everybody started like, what's going on over there? And because we're laughing too. And so like, there's like, what the hell's going on with them? And then right after that, a TV crew interviewed them both together.
Uh-huh.
They did their press conference together.
Everybody was taking pictures of them together.
Exactly. Yep. So like, I think we like unintentionally stumbled on some gold because everything after that was just both of them.
Where their origin story.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, oh, it started at Dave Campbell's. So, actually, we do have two interviews besides those two. We're going to run those two. We'll start with one right now. We'll do Steve Sarkisian. And thank you to Steve Sarkisian, John Bianco, you know, walking over. He did his main presser. He did his breakout presser. And then he stopped by. And towards the end, it was the last interview we did. Last one or second last? I couldn't remember.
Last one we did. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think Marvin Mims was the last one, but
well,
he was second to last.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were winding down and we were like, hey, if we can swing by, have time. And sure enough, he did. So without further ado, here's our interview with Steve Sarkisian.
Here was Coach Steve Sarkisian from the University of Texas. Coach, going into year two, you were talking about how everybody kind of has the established culture and expectations. What is different between maybe summer and spring year one and summer and spring year two?
Well, I think the biggest thing in year one is you're trying to instill, right, the core values in your program. You're trying to instill the schemes, the fundamentals, the techniques that are needed to try to perform in our systems and in our program. Year two, now you can start to dig a little deeper and get into the nuances of those things. And just even now, talking to the guys that are here with me today that are veteran players that have been in this program now for 18 months, they can talk about it. They're talking about, man, there's such an understanding now of not just what my job is, but what the guy's job is next to me or what the guy's job is behind me. And now I know why it's important to do the things, whether it's on or off the field for the program and for the sake of us being successful.
You know, you kind of talked a little bit about self-scouting and what you learned about yourself after year one or some things that you would have done differently. How important is that as a coach to always kind of look inward, not only at your team, but at your coaching staff, at yourself, and kind of figure out, you know, what you're doing, what you're not doing?
Well, I value it. You know, I value it every Sunday. You know, I value, you know, I look at every play call I make, and sometimes it may result in a touchdown and I'll think, man, that really wasn't a great play call, but we're always trying to evolve. We're always trying to get better. So that if a situation arises similar to it, what would we do differently? And if I don't do that, then I'm probably not living up to the standard of what's needed of me as a head coach at the University of Texas. So I'm always self-evaluating. Then I'm always evaluating those around me and having open and honest conversations about how we need to improve and then how we're going to get there.
I always hear coaches talking about programs transitioning from coach-led to player-led. Do you feel like y'all are closer to that right now than you were this time last year?
Yeah, I really do. I think we're much closer. I think that you can – I wouldn't say we're closer. I think we're there. I think we've got players in place in our program now that are in position that understand the expectation and that can speak the language, right of what we're speaking. And it's interesting. We're in a unique state because I've got 57 of my 85 scholarships as freshmen or sophomores on our team. But yet those remaining players on our roster, right, those 28 other players, those guys are there for a reason because they have really bought in. They're good players. They're good people. They're graduates, things of that nature that they now can extend and kind of reach out to those younger players to show them the way. And then that's when you really got something cooking. When the players are coaching the other players on and off the field, now we've got a chance to do something special.
Now, we cover a lot of high school football at Dave Campbell's. You've coached in a lot of different states. What makes high school football unique in Texas, and how much is it an advantage to be the coach of the University of Texas in a state that cares so much about that?
Well, I think one of the things that is unique, you know, everywhere you go around the country, there's pride to some capacity of pride in their program, their local program. In the state of Texas, everywhere you go, there is pride in that high school's football program. And it doesn't matter if they're 6A or 1A. When you show up to that stadium, there are thousands of people at that game. An entire town will be at a game to watch their team play. And I just think that is what is so cool and so unique. I think the other side of it too is the investment that everybody makes in their programs, right? From facilities to putting their players in the best position to be successful to hiring of coaches. There are great coaches in the state of Texas, and they work at their craft. They want to be really good at it, and in turn, their players get developed. And so there's a lot of positives to this thing, but football is no more important than anywhere in the world than the great state of Texas. And we're fortunate to be the flagship program that when the University of Texas shows up to watch a game or come to a practice or go to a school, everybody knows it and everybody's excited we're there.
Lastly, before you go, I know you play golf. I play golf. I wonder, what's your handicap?
It's not great. It's not great. I'm about a 14.
Yeah. Well, if you're any better, then you're playing too much golf.
Well, probably. I say it all the time when anybody plays me. Do you want a great golfer or do you want a great football coach?
Right.
Most people I play with would prefer the great football coach.
That makes sense. All right, coach. Appreciate your time.
Guys. Be good.
Absolutely.
Thanks again to Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian for swinging by. I know media day is pretty wild for him. So, you know, taking even that little bit of time was really cool of him. And our little makeshift setup there.
I learned his golf handicap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a nice question.
I wanted to know if I was a better golfer than Steve Sarkisian. And it sounds like we're about the same.
Yeah, there you go. So, let's talk a little bit about Texas. First of all, DeMarvian Overshown the hat, amazing. Like he had his cowboy hat on his breakaway presser. Bijan Robinson, of course, was the guy, right? Everybody was there.
So many people were around him. Yeah,
and it lasted forever.
I always feel bad about those kind of players where it's just like they're just like it's 30, 45 minutes. Like there's two types of players that I feel sorry for. The ones that get everybody and the ones that get nobody.
I know.
I feel more sorry for the nobody.
Right, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, that's, you know, you get brought all the way out to media days. You get put out, you know, and, like, you look to your left and everybody's around Bijan Robinson. You look to your right, everybody's around Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma. Right. And you're just like,
what am I doing here?
It was kind of like that for Kansas. Like, they were kind of there, but nobody was really. Well, and it's also because we're so far from Kansas. Like, not many media people are going to travel to Texas for this Big 12 media day for Kansas, but I kind of felt that way with them a little bit. But.
So I'm trying to think what else from that part. We can probably actually just run one of the other the Joey McGuire interview next.
Yeah.
Joey McGuire, of course, as Mike joked, seen him way too much. I don't know how you did that interview.
Too many questions. Like
I was about to say, I don't know how you're doing this.
I don't
know how you had had more questions for him, but somehow you did. So Joey McGuire, of course. First let's talk about when he was walking to the stage.
Big flex, my gosh.
Big flex on Mike Craven's part. So Mallory was getting footage of every Texas coach walking to the stage off to the side. Well, of course, Joey McGuire walks to the stage. Mallory's getting him walking up. Just pulls off to the side. I was like, oh, that's Mike Craven.
He sees Craven.
He just gives him some dap. Nice shoes, brother. Gives him a hug. And it's like everybody's like – For Mike Craven to be the guy that gets that,
I know.
He's just like, why, what? Like, everybody's just like looking at, who is this guy?
So I was standing there because, of course, everybody, like, it works. Like, there's lots of tables and stuff right in front of the stage for all the media. And the coach who's about to walk up had just been interviewed by ESPN.
Yes,
so he's walking to the side. And so I'm getting every coach and stuff. And, man, when I tell you, when Joey McGuire came up to you and started hugging you and talking to you, I felt so cool because everybody was looking at us at that point. And then everybody started filming the coaches walking up to the stage. I feel like that kind of became a thing.
I'm glad y'all enjoyed that so much.
I was about to say, you were not having
gold.
Fun. You were like, I don't know.
Like, I don't like
just kind of like hands in the pocket. Yeah. Just like,
So, maybe this podcast isn't the best place to talk about this, but I believe in a little bit of a separation of church and state.
Sure.
Like you kind of, we're media, right? Like, and I get along with all these guys and that's great. And, you know, Dave Campbell's allows me as a brand to kind of like be a little bit more friendly with those coaches because we kind of do more uplifting football stuff and less like tearing down. We're not going to like write like these investigative stories or whatever. And so it is a little bit different role, but it's like I'm in a room full of my peers, right? All the other media guys, and like I'm
dapped up,
right? And it's just like, oh man, come on, Joey, like
it was cool.
But it was really cool. Like a lot of people like reached out and stuff and was like, man, he really liked your shoes.
Yeah
that was pretty cool. That did well on social.
That was my best part. It wasn't really the hug.
Anytime you get the cosign with the shoes, you're good to go. So we'll run our interview with Joey McGuire here. Again, thank you to Texas Tech for, and McGuire, because, again, especially a new head coach, media day is a whirlwind, and so him taking some time with us was really nice. So.
He was in his element.
Oh, he worked the room, man. He was there. His press conference was great. He knew. So here's our interview with Joey McGuire.
Here with Texas Tech head coach Joey McGuire. Coach, been a pretty eventful last, 9 or 10 months for you. Are you pretty excited to kind of like have football season, finally right around the corner? You can almost smell that grass.
No, I can't wait. I love how you put that. How you smell that grass. I can't wait. I coach because I want to coach football and be around these players. And just the spring was incredible to be back on the grass. But I can't wait to go to – walk out of that tunnel and Jones AT&T is going to be incredible.
You kind of mentioned how you knew the guys would buy in eventually, but they bought in pretty quickly. What do you think it says about your staff that you put together, that those guys, you didn't have a bunch of transfers out, a lot of guys stayed, a lot of guys bought in. What does that say about you and that staff?
I think we are who we say we are, and we're that way every single day. And, I'm really proud of our staff, because that is one thing about those guys. They bought into that, coming in. You work for different coaches and different things are important, recruiting and this and that. For me, it's about the players that we have on our campus. I mean, we're going to recruit like crazy and we're going to do everything, but our players on our team should be the most important things that we have going on in life, in our life, besides our families, and they're extension of our families. And so it's easy to bring that in. And I think them seeing that allowed them to buy in a lot faster.
I've been curious. You've done this for a little bit while now. Like, what is the biggest difference between being a high school football coach and a college football coach through the offseason?
Um, You know, one of the strangest things I'll never forget, 2017, we go out recruiting in January, and I leave, and then I don't see my guys again until, you know, that end of January, 1st of February, and it, being away from the players during that recruiting period is the biggest difference, because, you know, really January is really when you start building that new team, and you got to trust that you've got a great strength staff, and we do. Lance Barlow and his crew do such a great job, but that was the strangest thing and really different. The recruiting part's the different part.
Have you all settled in? You already moved in, all that kind of stuff. I guess what's been one of your favorite parts about Lubbock so far?
The food. We got a new suit for media day, of course, and the waist size a little bit different than my last suit, and I think I've gained a little bit. The food's incredible. You know, if you go ever come out to Lubbock, Texas, and I know you've been out there, the people, I mean, it's just that true Texas feel of just genuinely good people. And so between those, the food and the people, it's been incredible.
All right, sir. Appreciate it.
Great seeing you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again to Joey McGuire and Texas Tech for standing with us after their press conference on Big 12 Media Day. Joey McGuire, we went to there was an alumni event here as well. Joey McGuire, you know, this is his Super Bowl. Like, THSCA is his Super Bowl. It was this way when he was at Baylor, because you could tell Rule and Aranda were like, do your thing, right? Like, this is why we hired you, right, to work the room and to work. And so him as a head coach, same guy. Same, like, it is his element. And so he, of course, Tepper tweeted out the Oklahoma thing, which if it was any other coach besides Joey, I feel like somebody would be upset about if you didn't see the tweet. He said – somebody asked him at the alumni event about the end zone complex, and he said, we're going to beat Oklahoma and we're going to tear down the end zone, and we're going to knock it down or something like that. And so Tepper tweeted it out, and Tech Twitter loved it, and then Oklahoma Twitter found it later and was like, oh, what's going to happen here? But regardless, if it was any other coach that said that, I feel like he would have been more upset. But he knows what he's doing. He's firing up this fan base. He's getting people excited. That week one's going to be – their first home game is going to be incredible in terms of atmosphere. This is his element, and he was fully in it.
Yep.
He has never met a mic that he didn't like.
Absolutely.
He commands
–
Or a mic, yeah.
You can play on words here. He commands the room when he gets that mic, man. And Ashley and I went to this event called Muffins and Mimosas with the Texas High School Coaches
Texas Wives Coaches Association.
Wives Association. Yeah.
A lot of letters and all.
Yes, lots of letters and I'm tired. And so their guest speaker was Debbie McGuire, Joey McGuire's wife. And man, they're one and the same. She commands the room when she takes. She's not as comfortable on the mic as he is,
sure,
but she's still so interesting to listen to. Like, and it was interesting to hear. They're a team. Yeah. And whenever she was talking about Joey, she said we. Mm. Like, they're a team. They're a brand in itself, and they are both doing such a good job at branding. Yeah. Like, they're an incredible couple and one and the same.
Oh, easily. First Lady of Lubbock, like, the President of Lubbock. Like, it is very much that relationship.
Everybody knows her. Everybody knows him.
Exactly.
Like,
When I was younger around the Texas program and stuff, you always heard about Miss Sally. You know, like Matt Brown's wife, right? And that's what they'd call her, you know? And, like, you know, recruits loved her. You know, like, recruits' parents really loved her, you know, because it was like, hey, I'm going to take, you know, your kid needs some pancakes, you know? Like, they ain't coming to my house. They got some pancakes. That's going to be Debbie McGuire.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, where it's like Miss Debbie, you know, is going to take care of all this stuff, you know? And if you're a mom sending your – and that just shows how big of a machine these things are.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's not just the coaches. It's not just the players. It's not just the backroom staff. It's not just the SIDs. It's, like, all their wives, all their families. Like, it is really just this huge group effort. And these coaches' wives have to be a part of all that, you know, whether they like to be or not, you know? Like, it's such an interesting world. And it's cool to see that family kind of get this platform, you know, because they deserve it. And they, you know, they're going to do it for the right reasons.
Right.
And she was mentioning, too, she was like, you know, there's going to be a lot of players that can't go home for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And we want to be that place, that safe place to where if they don't have anywhere to go or they can't be with their family, we want them to come join us. And I thought that was really cool.
And that's a really important. You got to remember, these are 18 to 22 year old kids. Some of them not coming from the greatest upbringings,
right. And never been away from home either.
Right, never been away from home. May not have a home to go back to.
Sure.
You know, and so You know, to have people like that around you at all these universities. You know, there's probably a Debbie McGuire at every single one of these schools,
yep.
You know, and those kind of things are invaluable for these kids that, you know, we try to act like they're 30 because they're 6'4", 300
right.
pounds. You know, like we act like they're just robots or whatever.
Right.
But they're still 19.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, and,
exactly.
you know, it can get lonely when yep. you're out at school like that. So that's really good on her
yeah.
to do that.
They're both so great. Yeah. So great. We love them.
Definitely.
So.
All right, so well, that'll be it for us, man.
Yep.
Well, we're going to tear
we're tired of talking.
Tear this whole thing down, not talk to anybody until whenever the hell everybody gets back in the office, and then I'm going to sleep really nice tonight. So without – let's see. I'm trying to think.
Are y'all driving back?
We are driving back, yeah. Oh, that's right. You're, yeah.
I'm staying.
You got a little
yeah.
event to go
I got,
to. So.
I got one more San Antonio day in me.
Yeah, there you
hey,
go.
Hey, we're driving back in probably 2 hours, and we're stopping at Taco P. on the way back.
I am very
nice.
Excited for some
Taco Palenque. I am so excited. I can't wait. That's my going to be my favorite part.
South Texas, if you know, you know. That's
if
it.
You know, you know. That's it. We're ending it right then and there.
Exactly. So thank you guys for watching. Remember to subscribe at TexasFootball.com. Subscribe to all the podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all that stuff, or watch us live as you're doing now on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, on TexasFootball.com as well. I know we're streaming live on there. Yeah, that's it. We're going to leave, and I'm going to stop talking. So thank you.
And we've had 11 of the 12 FBS coaches on our podcast. Jimbo Fisher, come join us, man.
Peace.